Saturday afternoon at Keeneland, ladies and gentlemen. If I had anything to do with it kicking off the Breeders' Cup races, which are race four, I would push it up about 2 minutes post time because Daily Racing Form is saying post time is 12:02 for the Philly and Mary Sprint. Well, this should be a shootout at high noon. Just push up 12 o'clock. And to me, this is exactly what the Breeders' Cup was meant to be. And this was not one of the original seven races. And it's interesting that the Phillies go seven and the Sprint is at six. And we're going to have a Philly in there, Frank Raquette, because she prefers six over seven. But boy, this is a showdown between early part, Gamine and Serengeti Empress. And they drew post positions, and Gamine drew inside of Serengeti Empress. Serengeti Empress, to my way of thinking, has to go. There's no other way for Tom Amos's runner, I think, to win this race. So just go, and she's good when she goes. She won the Ballerina. She got beaten the test to a champion the year before. Gamine, going one turn, is unbelievably good. Her test stakes, her Acorn stakes, her debut, her two-turn race is not so much, but she's not going two turns. But she's inside. And if I'm Luis Saez on Serengeti Empress, I am going to put John Velasquez in a very precarious position. The type of position that if I was John Velasquez, I would say I want no part of it and I'm going. And it would be on at high noon. Because I think the way it drew, Serengeti Empress and Gamine, this has to be a fight. This has to be a heavyweight fight. The first four or five furlongs of this seven furlong race, I want them to see them go at it. I think this race is one of the bombs that I love on the card, and that's Sconson, who is going to be all of 20-1, won the Eight Bells from Out of the Clouds most recently, finished second in the Beaumont this past July, usually an April race. But this race is about really the heart and the speed of Serengeti Empress and Gamine and throwing it down. And then if they clear the field, the racetrack helps them maybe, but I'm just expecting these two outstanding sprinting fillies to just really go at it from the bell to who knows when. But for me, Sconson picking up the pieces at a big price in a very memorable Breeders' Cup filly or mare race. Speech is the two-turn horse cutting back from the rail from Mike McCarthy that I'm interested underneath. I don't have much interest in Come Dancing. I think she's about 18 months removed from her best work. Venetian Harbor is not going to see anywhere near the front, in my opinion. And in that case, you know, it's good luck to her. Maybe it'll work out for her, but her wins have been when she's been on the front end, and she's not going to get a pace similar to the Raven Run in her most recent effort in the Breeders' Cup Filly or Mare Sprint. Now, maybe the race will fall to her as she stays close, but if I could get a head-to-head between Sconson and Venetian Harbor, I would take Sconson. Bell's the one as a far outsider who is 2-for-4 at Keeneland and won last year's Raven Run would interest me. But to me, this is a two-part race. The first part is two dynamic sprinting fillies going at it head-to-head. And then Sconson at a big price because of the way the race set up for her, winning the Breeders' Cup Filly or Mare at about $50, cha-ching. But as a sporting event, it doesn't get much better than this year's version of the Philly and Mare Sprint. And I just truly hope that the dynamics of the race require Serengeti Empress to go, and that John Velasquez down inside says, I have to go, and it's on, hopefully, for the first five furlongs of the seven furlong. Philly restaurant. Now, going 5.5, we have the 3-year-olds and up in the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint. Now, last year, Melbourne Bay got a trip that's rare in horse racing, which is the one that I thought was going to get on paper. And Javier Castellano did a brilliant job, got the breather in the middle, and down the road you go. And it's a great story. I don't talk about backstories in horse racing too much, but that was one of the horses that was involved with the fires and was rescued and won a Breeders' Cup race and was my top pick, and that should put me in clover in the ROI for the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint for a long time. This is a race that I don't have a fervent handicap opinion because I think it would be a quicker show if I just said who I think can't win. And in the main body, that's not too many. I mean, if you say just might at 30-1 can't win, I'd be like, well, Omaha has a triple, has a 99 buyer speed figure sprinting on the turf. The buyer par for this race is 103. How would you say just might can't win? So to me, yeah, you're all in it. There is some interesting horses in here, though. In Primus, 2 starts this year off of last year's Breeders' Cup. Must be fresh. For Joe Arsino, who's on the 20th anniversary of his 2 wins when it was at Churchill Downs in 2000, when there was only 8 races, Joe won 2 of them. Irad Ortiz has the mount. Of course, won the Troy, was taken down for the interference in the stretch. Then won at Kentucky Downs. And I talked on our previous podcast where I just don't know what to make of those races horses coming out. But this is obviously a major player in the race. Another interesting horse, Got Stormy, who I think for many of us, we thought she wasn't as good at middle distance turf, and all they shortened her up to 2 sprints. She's won both of them. She's 7-2, the morning line favorite in here. I don't want any part of her. As much as I love the fact the filly mare last year in the mile ran 1-2, I'm going to be against Got Stormy on Saturday. Alexandra hasn't run since the spring. It won the Win and You're In Jaipur when, it was just a dominant winner after settling last early, just picked him up, put him down, and has been laid off since June 20th. Has had only 2 starts this year. Like in Primus mentioned earlier, has had 2 starts this year. Wet Your Whistle has had 3 starts this year, 2 of them victories, including most recently the Belmont Turf Sprint under Jose Ortiz. The European Glass Slippers will get Lasix for the first time, is dropping 10 pounds. We'll see. I mean, it fits in here. All 14 fit in my, for me, where I settled, and I don't like to use that verb very often, but that's really when I looked at all this. Brendan Walsh is into Mystic, 12-1 on the morning line, just beaten recently in the Buffalo Trace, Franklin County, which is a 5.5 furlong turf sprint at Keeneland. Broke from the rail that afternoon, is number 9 in here. That's where I land at a big price, which I think you need to take in this race. Why? Because all 14 are live in here to me. The other horse I'm going to take in here is at a short price and doesn't really, will not be in the win position because of that. Has only had 3 starts this year, which is Leinster. going out for Rusty Arnold, has won two of them, was brilliant in the summer of 2019 in the Troy Stakes at Saratoga, won the Shakertown, won the Woodford, both of those at Keeneland, July and October. Is a major player in here, 4-1, says co-second choice on the board. I mean, they fit, but so do the other 11 that aren't 4-1 or less in here. And in that case, Into Mystic is the horse that I'm looking forward to in a, you know, as wide open a race as I will ever handicap, and certainly as wide open a grade one race as I will ever handicap. And we have four also eligibles that would continue that formula. Sixth race on the card is the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. Now, this is a race that I clamored for many years, but I must confess that I always envisioned it as a one-turn mile. I think there's a world of difference between one-turn mile and two-turn miles, even though Liam's Map, who won this race the last time we were at Keeneland for the Breeders' Cup 5 years ago, belies that, because I think he was terrific doing both. I'm going to start where I think it should start in this race, which is Complexity. It's 2-1 on the morning line, folks. Complexity has had 9 career starts, 8 of them around 2 turns. Of those 8, 5 victories. His lone 2-turn race, yes, I know it was more than 2 years ago, it was the Breeders' Cup Juvenile at Churchill Downs, and finished 10th. I know it didn't return to the races until the Woody Stevens on June 8th. I am not taking 2-1 on a horse going 2 turns who's an offspring of McLean's Music. No, I'm not. Complexity for me is a toss in the win spot as a function of price and question marks. This is a 2-turn mile race, and Complexity draws outwardly, has early speed, going to have to use it. If he wins, I lose, and I'm okay with that. Didn't have any firm, upbeat, can't wait to see them run at a medium price, because I'm all in on them, as I have been with some of the other horses. War of Will and Owendale are going to be my two on top picks. As I looked at this race, I just think, let me take a look. The buyer speed par is 108 for this race. I think it's going to be lower for this edition, and I just think Owendale is an absolute grinder. War of Will is a versatile runner. Heck, when you've won the Preakness and the Maker's Mark grade one races back-to-back years, it's had only one start since July, third place beaten favorite in the Woodbine Mile, now gets back to the dirt. Drew a good post position in here for Tyler Gaffney, and I think he's going to sit a very good trip in here. Art Collector intrigues me underneath. The three-year-old was very sharp. Rooting now gets a mile, but he's a two-turn runner. Rushy, who's a big price in here, is an offspring of the aforementioned Liam's Matt, won the Pat Day Mile. That's a one-turn mile over at Churchill Downs. You know, it's a three-year-old trying elders for the first time. Nick's Go, you know, to me is interesting, but not at 7-2. And if you have the pre-entries, you see Nick's Go, the huge price win, the Breeders' Futurity at Keeneland. That does not show up on the final, on Friday's, Saturday's, excuse me, daily racing form, but you know, just a huge effort, comes out of a brilliant allowance race at Keeneland. Matter of fact, an all-time buyer speed figure high of 107. So that's Nick's Go. Mr. Freeze for me, Dale Romans, will be in the mix, but in a race that I think is very tough to like the favorite, but I couldn't latch on to anybody with strong intent. So War of Will and Owendale. I have Art Collector and Mr. Freeze underneath. Complexity, I can't see at a short price, the two-turn question. Knicks Go, certainly understandable for me. That's the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. And perhaps from a wagering standpoint, perhaps not, I think one of the most intriguing races of the weekend is the Filly and Mare Turf for a couple of reasons. One is, it's the Euros versus the Americans. That's the easy part. Secondly, for me personally, this is Rushing Fall's moment. Brilliant record, 5-for-6 at Keeneland, grade ones every single year of her racing career. Terrific. But this is about the Hall of Fame for her. She wins this race. She's an easy check mark for me in the box. Folks, I have to tell you, I'm not there yet. She has been Hall of Fame managed in her career, without any question. And this year, because of the configuration at Keeneland, remember Churchill Downs, 1 3/8, but at Keeneland, 1 3/16, and that might be beyond her scope, as it were. I think Rushing Fall is vulnerable. Sister Charlie, do they come back? Not at a short price for me. Harvey's Little Goyle. What has happened of late is that the three-year-olds that win the QE2 don't run in the Breeders' Cup. That the QE2 has become the three-year-old Philly Turf Breeders' Cup race. But at Keeneland for the Breeders' Cup, maybe that's what gets her in here. The Europeans, Peaceful, an offspring of Galileo, getting Lasix. Terra Bellum, an offspring of See the Stars, getting Lasix. Then you have Starship Jubilee, Mean Mary, who was brilliant in the Diana, but I think will be going up a much steeper mountain at 7-2. My Sister Nat, recent second place finish in the Flower Bowl. Speaking of the Flower Bowl, Civil Union for Shug McGahee, winner of 4 in a row, including the Glens Falls and the recently run Grade 1 Flower Bowl. Cayenne Pepper on the far outside. I mean, there is much in the mix here. But from a purely racing standpoint, it came down to two runners, maybe three. I think the Euros are going to have their day against the American distaffers here. Peaceful, Terra Bellum, the 11, all getting Lasix for the first time. Peaceful, debut this year, won the Irish 1000 Guineas. That's the mile race at the Curra. Just got beat in the Pre-Diane, which many would say, and I would probably be in that group, including this race, might be the premier three-year-old turf race in the world. The Prix d'Opera is probably shoulder-to-shoulder with the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf. Peaceful, a daughter of Galileo, double-digit odds. Sign me up. Terra Bellum, an offspring of the brilliant See the Stars, was beaten a length and a half in last year's Prix d'Opera. Is 1-for-4 this year, 1 at Newmarket in the seasonal debut, hasn't won since. That was in, and most recently, 3 consecutive Group 1 races, and the 11 Ordinara, I will take coming out of 2 races back, winning a Group 1. That's at the summer meet in France at Deauville. I just think that I don't know what the getting Lasix means. It will help. This has been going on for years now, the Europeans, whether they take the medicine or not. But Peaceful, to me, is too hard to pass up. I have questions on Sister Charlie, Mean Mary, Rushing Fall, the three lower priced United States runners to me are, I mean, I would like maybe Civil Union to finish best of the United States horses, and she's 12 to 1. So to me, this is about the Europeans and most readily on top. Peaceful for Ryan Moore, Aiden O'Brien, Michael Tabor, getting Lasix for the first time, has run a Group 1 race that was going a mile. Remember, it is a mile and 3/16 the distance, and I think that's just going to be beyond Rushing Falls' favorite distance, and that's Falls apostrophe S. All right, Breeders' Cup Sprint. Frank Brockett, the three-year-old filly, the offspring of Into Mischief. She wants to go 6 versus the boys versus 7 against the fillies and mares. Good luck to her. I mean, I think she fits in the race, but so do about 8 other horses. Yalpon, 7-2, has run exclusively at 6 furlongs. Won the Grade 3 Chick Lang at Pimlico on October 1st. Is in here. Vekoma, morning line favorite, on the outside, hasn't run since Independence Day. It's getting a little silly. No, just this horse, I think it's fair to say, looking at the daily racing form and the stuff, the talk you hear about, you know, is just not able, you know, to put together 4 or 5 races in a row without a respite. But 2 starts since March 28th. Victories in the Carter and the Met Mile. If you like him, there he is. He's all yours. He's not going to be for me. Yalpon, the Steve Asmussen runner, the 3-year-old that's getting much attention. 2nd choice in a 0.5 to 1. Yeah, you know, I think this offspring of Uncle Mo is terrific. And he definitely fits in here. His buyer speed figure is right there with about 8 others. It's going to be a short price. Not the way I roll. I'm picking a horse in here that's really a horse that I have has never been in my front windshield until the Breeders' Cup Sprint. And that's Friends and Fire, 8-1. And the reason is, I just think that this horse is part of the 8 or 9 that fits. I'm throwing out his forego in the slop, which I think is legitimate. Horse has been razor sharp after one poor effort since leaving the Jason Service Barn. That was the first time out, but since then, Kelly Breen has had this runner in the go mode, and go it is for me. But let's touch on this. Echo Town, he won the Mr. Alan Jerkins at Saratoga. I think he is not run regularly fast enough. He draws the rail, not so good for me. CZ Rocket, undefeated at Keeneland. Yes, that helps. He's down inside for Peter Miller. Almost always a favorite in this race, is going to get bet here. I think he's in a tough position with that pose. Collision Illusion will have to run 3 or 4 lengths faster than he has ever run before. Bon Raison, Jack Sisterson, if I was to take a horse at a bomb that I think will be maybe twice the 30-1 morning line shot, it will be him. Manny Wah, Wayne Catalano's runner off of Little Freshing, was sharp in an allowance at Keeneland. That can't hurt. Frank's Rocket, the filly, she's got to be in go mode. You know, we've seen fillies, you know, it's been a while, but in their first decade or so of the Breeders' Cup, boy, fillies, and there was no Breeders' Cup filly or mare sprint. I understand that. Boy, not only they win, but pace setters. And Frank's Rocket, I mean, I do think that the filly or mare sprint would have been an impossible position for her. So she's getting the distance she liked. But the competition, the filly and mare sprint, wouldn't have worked out. Whitmore, I know we got a triple buyer speed figure in the Vanderbilt. I just don't think at 7, Ron Moquette's runner is what he used to be. Talked about for Ensign Fire. Empire of Gold, you know, was runner up in the Phoenix at Keeneland at better than 50-1. Will be part of the pace, I certainly hope. Yapon, part of the pace also, I hope. Diamond Ops, you know, on paper, this horse fits. Patrick Biancone's horse, brilliant speed figures, brilliant morning works. Recent winner of the Phoenix off the pace. Going to be a player in here. Hog Creek Hustle could pick up a small part. If you're playing Supers, I think he has to be in. If you're playing Tries, he'll be in my third place. Jasper Prince, the Japanese Invader. No idea. There's just no idea what to do. Looking at this, this is, runner is 4-for-9. Lifetime in the dirt. Yes, comes out of big fields. Looking at this horse, his races in the daily racing form seem to be fields of 16, 18 once, and 14 once. So I don't think field size will be a problem. And then Vekoma on the outside, off of the Independence Day layoff, 3-1. Brilliant in the Carter. I thought Dead Hickory in the Metropolitan Mile. He's had the time off as a couple of works, but just not for me in the Breeders' Cup Sprint. If you can sink your teeth into someone in here, I think you're certainly at an advantage over me. But I think it's a wide, wide open race, and I think there's some horses that I think, you know, you win the Alan Jerkins, supposed to be a player. I don't like Echo Town. Whitmore, I don't think, is the same. The Philly, I don't think, is going to get a race set up that she prefers. I have questions about Yopan. So, to me, I'm picking on top of a horse that I often have questions about. Friends in Fire, that's a look at the Breeders' Cup Sprint. Boy, I'll tell you, if you love a horse in there, you are ahead of the curve. Annually, one of my favorite races in the world is up next. Scheduled to go for about 3:15. The Breeders' Cup Mile, ladies and gentlemen. The Euros versus the Americans. And years ago, we used to get the best Euros because the purse was so much better than anything they ran for in Europe. That has since ceased, and I think we don't get the best anymore. But there are plenty in here. How about this? The 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, all 5 of the 6 inside horses, all the Euros. The 9, and that's it for the main body. So all inside, Uni trying to defend, and boy, I'll tell you, you want to talk about an honor roll of two-time winners of the Breeders' Cup Mile. It doesn't get any better than that. And Uni tries to join the likes of the greats. Mies, Lore, Wise Dan, Gold. I mean, it's unbelievable. And in a way, I'll be rooting for Uni to do that. The mare won last year at 5. She's back. She won the First Lady at Keeneland most recently. She's 2-for-3 at Keeneland. She's 5-to-1 on the morning line. I think it's a wide-open race. I don't think the Euros in this race, I don't think that they're have the Americans over the barrel. They do draw inside, which I think will help them. You can see by the morning line odds that obviously these aren't the days of Milligram and Miesk and Goldakova, which is fine. The Euro that I think I would most fancy in here would be the 4, Siskin, not with any great feeling of conviction, but that would be the one that I would like. The Americans, it doesn't seem as if there's anybody in the class of the Lures of the world, which we wouldn't expect, but doesn't seem to be anybody who's been middle distancing like the Wise Dans, and this is the spot you've been looking for. Halliday might be the one you say. He's going to be on the front end. He needs to go. We'll see how far this offspring of Warfront will go. But when I looked at this, I have to tell you, I just March to the Arch. For me, folks, draws well in the middle of the pack. Ivor, the 11, is a player, but at 4-1, I don't like him. I don't fear the Europeans in here. I don't fear the short-priced United States runners in here. So when I looked at it, honestly, it only left me about four horses, and I took March to the Arch, who is a big price in here. Comes out of the Woodbine Mile, got beat there. Previous to that, in the King Edward, which is a grade 2-1, Mark Cassie goes to his guy, Tyler Gaffione, who is one aboard this runner. In the Shadwell Turf Mile, last year, got beat a length. Is going to be coming from off of the pace in here. Hopefully, Casa Creek and Halliday and Ivor will be softening each other up. And to me, a European winner in this race would surprise me. I might be rooting for Uni, but I think she's in a very tough spot. Has had three races this year. I got to think in the Chad Brown bar, she's going the right direction. But March to the Arch, for me, figures as much as anybody in here. And they will be a big price. On to the 10th. One of the originals and one of the, I would have to say, on the first Breeders' Cup, it was the performance of the day when Princess Rooney won by a pole. And in that year, they ran the distaff at 10 furlongs. They ran it at 10 furlongs, I think, for three of the first 4 years. And then in 1988, they dropped it down to the mile and an eighth. And it is as good a roster of winners as you will find in the Breeders' Cup, and that's including the Classic. One of my girl is trying to win it again, not in consecutive years. A great story. Didn't run in 2019. Is 3-for-3 in 2020. You have a three-year-old filly, Swiss Skydiver. I think she chose the right race going here versus the Classic. To me, the race starts with what you think of Monomoy Girl, what figure she's going to run, will that be good enough, and how short a price will she be? Well, I will say this. She's on her way to the Hall of Fame. Unlike Rushing Fall, for me, she already has my vote. Winning here just makes it a fait accompli for Hall of Fame. Actually, I think it already is. I think it's a done deal. She's going in. She's on the outside. My rule of thumb from a betting standpoint is they never come back to who they were. She was brilliant in the Ruffian. The other two, less so. So I think she's vulnerable in here. And I think you're supposed to bet against her, root for her, bet against her. Swiss Skydiver. Race to Authentic on the far turn and was rewarded Robbie Alvarado. They got the laurels. They won the Preakness. Second time in this century, a filly has beaten a Derby winner in a photo finish in the Preakness Stakes. They chose the right spot. The three-year-old filly could be heck to pay in here. We'll see. Let's touch on some others. CC, even when she was in her winning streak, I never thought she was at the top of the heap. She seems to have regressed a little bit. Hasn't run since Labor Day weekend. Harvest Moon, the three-year-old filly, won at Santa Anita, the Zenyatta most recently. She draws inside. Could be a part of the bottom part of the trifecta for me. For me, an intriguing horse in here is Dunbar Road. I've been warming up to this four-year-old filly. Now, remember, she burst on the scene, won the Mother Goose, won the Alabama, has only three starts this year, two victories. Remember, one of them was a Delaware Handicap, another former 10-furlong dirt filly and mare race, now down to 9, and was the beaten even money favorite in the Beldame, but she gets back to going two turns, which I think she likes. Got beat in the Spinster. She was a three-year-old then. Dunbar Road is sneaking up on the outside side for me. Bill Mott sends out the 4, recent winner of the Beldame. I think she's a player in here. Mentioned Swiss Skydiver. Lady Kate, well, she should be on the front early. Can she pull off a one dreamer? I don't think so. And by the way, Point One Dreamer had already had a sharp win at Churchill Downs back in 1994. Lady Kate is 0-3 at Keeneland. Point of Honor, boy, I promised myself after the personal ensign that dog wouldn't hunt anymore, but I have to confess, she's going to be in the mix for me, and I can't believe it after her third place finish in the personal ensign that I would revisit her, but she's in the mix for me. Todd Pletcher sends out the recent runner of the Spinster, the 8. Ollie's Candy, you want to talk about being suckered into a horse? This race has sucker ridden all over for me. I've been suckered into Point of Honor, and I've been suckered into Ollie's Candy, ladies and gentlemen. They will be the two horses for me in a race that has Swiss Skydiver and Monomoy Girl in it. A filly who's won an American Classic and a Hall of Fame mare. I'm taking two horses that I don't trust at all. Well, they're going to be big prices. And that's all I'm relying on, folks, here. This might be a race where I might actually play a four-horse Exacta box here. I don't think, even with the long shots, anything more than a four would be wise. Dunbar Road will be in my second and third spot for trifectas. Now, this is a 10-horse field that if the Preakness took too much out of Skydiver and Monomoy Girl's Ruffian was the outlier for this year, it could come back balloons. And that's what we'll be rooting for, because I'm telling you, this is to take Ollie's Candy and Point of Honor. I'm shaking my head, folks. I have to tell you, but the way I look at races and everything, and the price is a strong function for me. And I'm against Monomoy Girl, and I it was a strong final half mile for Swiss Skydiver in the Preakness, so I was looking elsewhere. So be it. All right. The Breeders' Cup Turf. And when I first started looking at this race, all I could think about was the same feelings I had in 2001 when I said it's all the Euros, just let's figure out what order. And they won they were the superfecta. Well, here we've watched Arklo, Candlemaker for so long. I didn't have United as high as I'm going to have him, because I never thought he'd be 8-1 on the morning line. You have the Euros right next to each other. 2, 3, 4, 5. All Distaffers, ladies and gentlemen. Magical is the mare that 2 years ago at Churchill Downs pushed Enable to the mat when Enable became the first ARC turf same year winner. The offspring of Galileo has run till she's 5. Very rare. Very rare. The morning line, I think, says much of it in here. The 2 and the 3 are the Euros. To fancy. But to me, I Arklo wouldn't shock me, but I've been watching Arklo and Channel Maker for so long, and Channel Maker maybe has never been better than at 6. But I have to tell you, I thought it was Christmas in November when United was 8-1 on the morning line, and I'm thinking any type of that price, 3 turns. Richard Mandela pushed Bricks and Mortar last year to the mat. This is all United for me. In a field of 10, I am sticking my flag in the ground that this is United's day. 4 for 5 this year. Magical is the one European to get past. Channel Maker maybe has never been better. I will also point out that Mogul on the outside, recent winner of the Judmont Grand Prix, getting Lasix for the first time for Aidan O'Brien, will be in my mix also. But this is about United for me. Not much spreading in here. I will probably be just really an exacted type punch with United and Mogul, unless the United and Magical is showing like $24, which is hard for me to imagine. But the turf, you have the four distaffers next to each other in the starting gate from Europe, the 2, 3, 4, 5. You have the 3-year-old Colt European on the outside that I'll fancy a little bit. Mogul getting Lasix. And just a quick note that the Euros, the distaffers are getting Lasix. Also, they are reporting, the Daily Racing Form is reporting that the 3, 4, 5 is getting it for the first time. Magical, the daughter of Galileo. It's just a race that jumped out to me that United is really where I want to be. At $18, I'd be laughing. I hope so. And maybe with the Mogul Exacta, I don't know, maybe $40 in the Breeders' Cup turf. It's fair to say that dominated by the Fillies and Mares. And what's interesting to me is if, because the Philly and Mare turf is a mile and 3/16, that the Fillies and Mares from Europe are here at a mile and a half. But I think it's Richard Mandela's race to win with United.